The bigger the headache, the bigger the pill. This is The Unshow. All right, man, here we are sitting again, man, doing it till we're satisfied. I'm the Schmooze Master. This is The Unshow. Always thinking of un, no dogmas or isms, because I don't give a shit. And I prove it every day, Monday through Friday, with my good old pal, my partner in crime, the man who knows of whence I came, the incredibly lucid, the incredibly nimble Dobie Maxwell.
Weekday wackery coming to you.
Oh,
500,000
yeah.
Kilowatts of unshow power.
Oh, plenty of kilowatts. That's cocaine. Kilos, baby. Kilos of cocaine. You know, I love the cocaine. I love it, man. Especially 1979 cocaine.
Yeah. none of the baby laxatives still in it?
Yeah, a little mannitol. That's what it was called, the baby laxative mannitol. You put that in. You step on it. You step on the coke. You know, back in the late 70s, I had my fair share. I had fun when I was single before I was married and so forth. And I enjoyed it, you know, because I wasn't an addictive personality like a lot of people were who suffered. I wasn't every day. I wasn't chronic. You know, I smoked a lot of pot and this and that. And I was working the day watch out of Nowheresville. You know, I had no career. And, I worked in a wholesale meat business that I saved up enough money, luckily enough, to get into the comedy club business in 82. So between that time and 82, it was a lot of fun. And, I was doing the little blow here and there, and people were partying. And the sex was plentiful, and the singleness was plentiful. And, the glory days of the modern disco era, as they would say. I mean, I even had the Time Life books, the modern disco era. I think volume 7 was Platform Shoes. And at the end of it, you know, the end of the disco era, kind of, you know, when it kind of petered out.
Mm-hmm. Peters out, everybody.
That's right. I was at Sands Delicatessen. This is how you know one is over. I was at Sands Delicatessen on Van Aken Boulevard in Shaker Heights, Ohio, on Wednesday night. And mm-hmm. And Sands Delicatessen had their famous disco deli night.
Seriously?
Right. And after 9 o'clock, they'd clear all the tables out. They'd hang a disco ball. And all the Jewish women in desperate need of a husband, of a kosher Jewish husband, a circumcised kosher Jewish husband, would descend on Sands Delicatessen for disco deli night, where you can dance next to the 5-pound hanging Wilno salamis and the tongue. I'm not kidding.
You're not kidding?
I'm not kidding you. And that's when you knew disco was over.
Well, they must have made some money for a little while.
No, they did. It was hot. But the Vildachayas that would come to that disco. Those wild Jewish beastettes would show up there. Mm-hmm. You know, with their big, meat hooks, looking for a kosher man.
Oh. Did they like the nightlife? Did they like the boogie?
Oh, they loved the bogey. They loved the disco. I mean, God. And it was funny because where I was working at the time, I had access to, 714s, lemon 714s, disco biscuits, you know.
So, disco biscuits.
So you would split one with a girl back then, and man, you were getting head in the parking lot, pretty guaranteed.
Yeah, just put brown mustard on it.
It was stadium mustard, Burtman Stadium mustard. They served down at Cleveland Stadium.
Sure.
To put on your kosher hot dog.
Your ballpark Frank. Are you ballpark Frank?
Yes, yeah, but those women, I just, as being a guy with a Jewish pedigree, I had a bar mitzvah, January 12, 1966, and exited the Jewish religion by way of a plate glass window shortly thereafter.
February 1st, you were eating bacon.
Yes, yeah. Out of a horse trough.
Bacon out of a horse trough. Yes.
You know what I mean? I just wasn't into it, and I had 4 years of Hebrew lessons from 9 years old till 13, after regular school from 4:30 to 6, Monday through Thursday, you know. So I'd go to school in the dark in the morning. I'd come home at 6 o'clock in the dark on the Hebrew bus. You know, it was pretty grim. So they kind of turned me off, you know, back then. So at the end, when, you know, Disco Deli Night was happening in Shaker Heights, Ohio, I'm looking around going, oh, my God, I'm never going to marry a Jewish girl. None of my friends married Jewish girls, and I didn't marry one, you know. I just, really? This is the best you got? You know, but it was fun. It was fun, you know, during the era, 79, 78, 79, 80, 81. In fact, even at that time, I had the good fortune of going to Plato's Retreat.
Oh, really?
You know, in New York back then, probably, I'm going to say 1980, I'm thinking.
How'd you get in there?
Oh, well, that was a sex club. They were popular back then. I went with my cousin, who was a woman, who was married to my uncle. She was my aunt, actually, my aunt, by marriage. My uncle passed away of a heart attack, my Uncle Murray, my dad's father, and my dad's brother. And my father had died in 74 of heart attacks. So 6 months, 8 months later, we went to New York. I said, you want to go to Plato's with my aunt? So you needed to go with a girl. You couldn't go by yourself. And guys are like locusts. You know, it's going to be all guys in there and one chick standing there. So they made it 50-50. It was $35 to get in per couple, $35 per couple. Mm-hmm. And you had to, if you wanted to get nude, you had to do it together. You had to take your clothes off. And then you could split up. You know, you didn't have to be with one another. But the weirdest part about it is there was no alcohol there, no bar, for obvious reasons. You know, people are drinking, man. And, you know, most people have good experiences. And most people, some people have negative when they drink. They get violent. They get, you know, abusive. So there was no liquor at all. But what they did have was a very nice hot buffet. I'm not kidding. So there's naked people eating, standing around with a plate of meatloaf, mashed potatoes, you know, green beans, salad, and it was part of the service there. They had a big dance floor that was padded, a big dance floor with about, you know, maybe 6-8 inches of foam padding, and was covered with carpeting. Mm-hmm. And mirrors on the ceiling, mirrors on all the walls. That was the big era where people had a gigantic species fuck. It was a giant species fuck there. And and they also had a dance floor. So people are dancing nude. Some guys are aroused. Some guys do some of their dance moves, and they knock 3 people out when they spin, you know?
With a pirouette.
Yeah, they pirouette, knock 3 guys out. But, you know, it was a fun experience for one night. Never wanted to go back. There was a real beautiful black girl in the giant whirlpool where Larry Levinson was, the king of swing, who owned the joint. Mm-hmm. And he was a big, fat tub of goo. And I understand why he opened up a swingers club, because he couldn't get any unless he was the proprietor.
Proprietary master.
Yeah. So off of the whirlpool was a semi-private room for 6 or 8 people. All right? Mm-hmm. And on the screen was a closed-circuit video screen showing Marilyn Chambers deep-throating some guy. And he points to her. He points to her face. And he says to us, we're in the whirlpool, that's Marilyn Chambers. When she's in town, she likes to come down here to work out.
No joke.
Like she's going to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget that. Anyway, this black girl who was gorgeous, she shot me down. You know? Mm-hmm. But that was okay. So I had a, you know, so at the end of the night, I'm trying to leave, and I'm walking around looking for my aunt, my sense of humor, you know, by marriage. Formerly my aunt,
right.
Actually. My uncle had died. But I'm going, Aunt Allison. under the piles of Humanity.
Humanity. Yeah. Is that you?
Yeah.
And then she in the hockey team room?
And then shortly thereafter, HIV made the headlines, and that place was toast. It was over, you know, HIV. So that was my single Coke days, my experience with sex and you know, just doing it every which way but loose.
How did your aunt work out?
I don't know. I think she had some coitus with a few, you know, strangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, coitus. Coitus. Isn't that funny?
Interrupticus.
Yeah, yeah, you know. But dancing on the dance floor with all those naked people, man. You know, just looking around going, dear penthouse, I never thought this would ever happen to me.
I just can't picture eating a plate of meatloaf with
these
guys.
Yeah, yeah. It was absurd. It was like a think of the laugh-in, the party scene, but they're all naked there. It was
I just picture you got a pubic hair in your fettuccine. You know, who do you complain to?
Yeah, I think the cook wore a hairnet.
You wore a marble bag hairnet.
Yeah, yeah. It was fun, and shortly thereafter, man, it was over with. It was just all the sex clubs, the swingers clubs, it was done. I went with me and my other buddy, Jeff, who's he's a high-priced attorney in New York now. I'm not going to say his last name, but he went with some other girl who had brought us some LSD, the one and only time I ever dropped acid. You know, it was fun for the day. I wouldn't do it again. I was 27 at the time, you know, and my buddy, who had tripped a million times in his younger days, said, I'll take a quarter of a hit. You guys take whatever you want to take, and I'll drive you around. I got a full tank of gas.
So you can drive on acid?
Well, on a quarter of a hit, I guess you can. I did three quarters of one and had a nice time for the day and laughed a lot. My buddy, my friend Mike, who I was living with two other guys in this big house, and we were just driving around listening to Frank Zappa on a summer day. It was fun, but I never wanted to do it again. I was exhausted at the end of the day and had to go to work the next day working in a wholesale meat market, and I kept saying, man, what if I go nuts and wanted to just impale my skull on the blade of the slicer or something? Nothing ever happened. But it was fun for the day, had a lot of laughs. But I was never enamored with it enough to want to trip like a lot of people did. But my roommate Bob, who drove us around, just wanted to be in the mood, so we took a quarter of a hit, you know what I mean? Just to, you know, and I'll drive you guys around. He had a full tank of gas. But he used to take Quaaludes. Oh, my God, he was a nut. Quaaludes. He'd come home on a Friday night with his face mashed in, bashed, scraped from falling off of steps or, you know, little walls along you know, front yards he's trying to walk on and just hit. This guy could fall up the steps to the top,
mm-hmm.
You know, and get to the top by falling up.
Okay.
And then he snapped out of it, got married, had kids. You know what I mean? You know, and just kind of grew out of it like most people do. It's funny. But that's life, baby. And now here we are pushing 60, pushing daisies.
Telling sex club and acid stories.
Yeah, sex club, acid stories, you know. But, you know, I don't want to brag about it. It was fun to do. I enjoyed myself. But, you know, you try to live in the moment if you can when you get older.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't think it's as free as it is now.
No, it's not free. Because you got that specter always hanging over your head, you know, getting some kind of crazy STD, you know. I mean, the worst you can get was crabs, you know, lice, or get, you know, gonorrhea, or get syphilis, you know, some nostalgic kind of infirmities, you know. Things you pine for now.
Oh, for syphilis.
Yeah, yeah.
A case of the old clap would be nice.
It would be nice right now, you know. You know, my dad worked in the pharmacy of a ship in the Navy in World War II,
mm-hmm.
And he was a pharmacist mate. And he would get these hayseeds coming in with the most fucked up stories because they weren't that bright. One guy had a big shanker on the head of his penis,
mm-hmm.
And the guy he was trying to tell my dad that you know how he got it? He was nude in the kitchen frying bacon.
And a piece of bacon fat jumped off on
right, you're right. And just jumped up and burned that shanker on there, burned that scab.
Wow.
Another guy's complaining about cramps, you know, in my stomach. It's been hurting for 2 weeks. When was the last time you took a shit? Oh, about 2 weeks ago. Well, you're constipated, Gomer. Here's some laxative. I mean, crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's what he did in World War II. It's funny, he died when I was 21. I really never got to talk to him that much, you know. about his war experiences and how it affected him. You know, things that just go. You know, if you don't do it early, you never know what's going to happen with your father, mother. You want to talk to him about things, you know, that are important. You know.
Yeah, you do it with your kids?
I do. I try to let them know. I kept the pot smoking, which I did a lot of after college, in college. You know, I never copped to that until recently. I knew it. My kids would say, you know. So I didn't try to say, yeah, I smoked a ton of weed, you know, until they were, you know, 17, 18, you know, until they were older. You know, I don't know. I didn't want to come off like some dissolute pot smoker. But my own father, you know, growing up during the Depression, I never had a chance to really, you know, talk to him about that kind of stuff because, you know, one day to the next he was gone suddenly, you know. So I kind of regret that. So I keep a journal now, too, which I think is important. I've been writing in a journal for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. So they'll get to read those, and they're pretty funny. They're like the show here, you know, improv, freeform, whatever I'm thinking about in the moment, you know.
Is it about them?
No. You know, partially I mentioned them. Sure, I mentioned them. You know, it's about current events. It's about what's going on in the world. It's about politics. You know, it's about just, you know, how you know, the world is kind of commercial, and it's hard to live in a commercial world if you're not geared to be commercial. Like, some people are really geared toward that, you know, and some people aren't. If you're not, it's tough living in a capitalist system. If you're not out there selling yourself or selling a product or selling something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's cool to write it down, come up with a lot of good jokes, you know. You know what I mean? It's just fun to kind of just do it, and things pop in your mind. You know how it is.
You do it every day?
No. Sometimes 3 months goes by, you know, or I'm doing a lot of photography, or I'm in my darkroom printing. It's a different discipline. So it's not a writing discipline, so I get out of the writing mode when I'm doing a lot of printing and so forth. You know what I'm saying? So I do that a lot. Then I go back and I'm looking at it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I like, for instance, like on July 2nd of this year, I was on a plane. I was on a plane to Albuquerque writing about the movie The Lincoln Lawyer starring Matthew McConaughey. Not a bad little caper picture. Enough twist to keep the average mope interested.
Mope twisted.
Yeah, I'm an above average mope.
I'm a mediocre mope, right down the middle.
Yeah, Lori, my wife, is watching it one row back of me because we couldn't get on the same, you know, we couldn't get tickets in the same row. You know, the flight is full. I'm listening to my iPod, which is a great pleasure for me. Anytime you can be ensconced in your own private world is okay by me. At least it's a world you can control, unlike the social world with its mores and folkways. Contrary to Chet Baker, who's singing about, I mean, he's a trumpet player who's saying about the qualities of his. I assume it's talking about qualities of his buddy. He's talking about the qualities of his buddy he's singing about. I assume it's a girl. But you never know with jazz guys with their reefer and their antisocial views. I don't know what that means.
So your kids are going to find that 40 years from now.
Yeah.
Dad was smoking pot.
Yeah, he was tripping when he wrote this shit.
He must have did the other two-thirds of the acid hit.
Yeah. My website, Master of Nudes, is getting launched officially next week. 15 years of work and finally a testament to all the effort to master the nude. The hard part is mastering something that is the artist has been attempting for 10,000 years, you know, doing nudes. How do you find fresh perspective on something that every serious artist, pornographer, camera club sad ass, husband, or talentless puke has been trying to capture since breasts arrived through evolution? You know what I mean? You know, everybody's trying to get to the holy grail of something, you know, and they keep doing the same thing. The same territory and try to reinvent it, man. That separates the greats from us mere mortals, you know, the guys who can redo that, you know. It's very rare to find genius who can reinvent something.
Yeah, I think I'm a safe distance from genius myself.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's tough.
It is tough. Life is tough.
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of fun to do this. I recommend it to people, you know.
Write a diary?
Yeah, some kind of journal. Not like, you know, so-and-so didn't return my call. I'm going to firebomb their house.
Is that what Facebook is for?
Yeah. You know, talking about premature ejaculation when I was, 16 years old. It was so bad. You know, if I look up a girl's name in the phone book, I would come.
Wow.
That's premature.
That's premature.
9:45 p.m. Here's what I wrote on 9:45 p.m. on 5/24/11. As the surface show wraps its tentacles around the masses, it leaves little room for contemplation in a time that desperately calls its name.
You babbling that shit for?
I'm saying that'll be on a bubblegum card someday.
And a Chinese fortune cookie. Dad never loved us. Yeah. He didn't mention our names.
God, the fortune cookie was like 12 inches long. I mean, 12 inches long.
Wong.
They would never.
Not craw. Craw.
Yes, they would never. Chinese restaurants would never expand the size of those fortune cookies, man. They got that price point down perfectly.
Well, yeah, there's like 6 words on it.
Yeah. So they're not going to have some kind of long-winded, something that dripped from some crazy guy's bilge.
Like a scroll that you unscroll, like Paul Revere.
Yeah.
Hear ye.
Yeah, they're ramping up these fortune cookies, honey. God. They were getting complaints after, 50 years of fortune cookies?
Probably more than that. It wasn't even Chinese.
No. It's too funny. Yeah. The Jews keep the Chinese restaurants alive. That's all I'm going to say. They're the ones that keep them alive.
On Christmas.
Yes. A movie and Chinese food. You know, the latest woman who's one of the Supreme Court justices, Kagan, she's Jewish, and they asked her something about that, and she invoked that during her hearings. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
About Christmas and eating Chinese food. And she just did it like she had been woodshedding it for a couple of days. You know, I don't know how she did it, but it just brought the chambers to, and people were laughing very hard in there, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought it was refreshing. You know, mostly you don't get that kind of stuff. It's a lot of dodging and weaving and juking when they're being, the confirmation hearings, so forth. Funny show today we're doing, man. I hope it's one of the best we ever have done, or the
it's
best.
It's the best show we've ever done.
You think so? You think it'll happen?
As far as you know.
When I go to heaven, man, and they're playing that show, and we're at the pearly gates. You said that about
this is the one we're going to be playing.
Ike Turner and his The Science of Hitting Your Wife.
Ike. Isaac T. It's me, yeah, it's me, yeah. It's Isaac T.
Yeah, man, it's sad. It's sad how she put up with all that stuff, Tina, you know.
Well, I think she had a lot of, a lot of scat inside her, boy. She didn't put up with it long. She got out of it. She had a great career.
No, she did have a great career. She did, you know. She did.
That's it. The famous quote, I think, from Ike Turner, you ever hear that? Did you hit Tina? Yeah, but not any more than the average Joe.
Wow. I never heard that joke.
No, that's not a joke. It's a quote from him.
Oh, really? Really?
I'm not kidding you. Oh,
my God. Wow.
Yeah, I hit her not any more than the average Joe.
I think if you don't get a backwards double somersault from your wife, then you're not hitting her hard enough.
I wouldn't know.
No, I don't know. I guess, that's not something I'm into. more than the average podcaster.
I can't believe, that's a tough situation.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. You ever see the movie Daylight with Sly Stallone?
Daylight. No, I don't think it is.
Yeah, they're trapped in that tunnel in Midtown, New York. It's collapsing. The river's going to buckle it. You never saw that movie?
Never did.
Oh, my God. That's his Schindler's List. He's trying to get like 10 people out of there alive. Schindler's List. It's the Holland Tunnel in New York. Oh, it's a good little movie. You know, it's a good little action movie. I recommend it.
I like Stallone. Was it how recent?
Oh, probably 95.
Nope, didn't see it.
Then he made Cliffhanger after that. I don't know if you saw that. John Lithgow was the bad guy?
Yeah, I did see that one. That was good.
Yeah. So this was before that. Go check that out. Daylight. It's his Schindler's List.
Stallone's List.
Yeah, the other movie I want to see, too, is the one that never got made. Was called Schindler's Other List.
Was it a laundry list?
No, it's the list of the Jews that didn't make the first cut.
The second round?
Yeah, the second round. You know, like American Idol. Sorry, you're not gonna. We're not, we can't get you out of the camp. I just don't know why they decided on 1,100 people. In the film, they kind of say that's all we can do, but I wonder in reality, why was it 1,100, and not as many as we can get? You know, so they thought, you know, we can get 1,100 safely, maybe officially do it and make sure we can do this. But some people didn't make it. You know. You wonder how those decisions were made in the real reality, not in showbiz reality, which is a great movie. It's one of the great commercial films about the Holocaust, you know, for a commercial audience.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of Spielberg in general, overall, but that thing is one of the great movies ever made about the Holocaust and war. And I love Janusz Kaminski's cinematography, just the set design, the production design, the light, you know, everything about it. The opening scene where the train car is going by and this young little girl, she must have been 10, with a babushka.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
With a babushka on, giving that sign, you know, the index finger under the throat, across the throat kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right from the beginning. And, you know, little Oleg, that kid who's trying to hide during the Kristallnacht, the Blitzkrieg, the night of the Crystal Night, and all the little kids are looking to hide. He jumps into the toilet, you know, the outhouse. He's in the shit, you know, the piss and the shit and the diarrhea, and he turns around. There's two other kids there telling him to get out, and you just see his face look up and the shaft of light coming through the toilet bowl, you know, the cut out of the plywood, whatever they were using. And he had to get out of it, man. I mean, there's no more touching set pieces. If you want a scene with this macro of what that whole movie's about and the Holocaust and the whole thing, it's right there. Little Oleg, you know, brilliant genius. Spielberg, you know, everything coalesced for him in that film. And then, you know, him being one of the most commercial directors of all time, I just don't think he ever got back to that place again, you know, as other movies. I mean, that was like hitting on all eight cylinders at the peak of your creativity as a filmmaker. Even John Williams, who's bombastic as a composer to me, did a great job too with the theme, the love theme from Schindler's List. I'm kidding. Love theme, but did a great job. And Liam Neeson, and just the way it was shot and the lighting, brilliantly done, you know. So
I make that happy note.
I make a joke, you know. That it's Schindler, Daylight is Stallone's Schindler's List, to Stallone being a ham-fisted filmmaker, of course. But it's a good action movie. I'm not trying to put them together at all.
Okay, point well taken.
Thanks, bro.
Stallone's List.
Stallone. I remember going to The Tonight Show and seeing Joan Rivers and Stallone with Johnny Carson many, many, many moons ago, and Stallone was a midget, man, when he walked out. God, was he small. You know,
yep.
Compared to, you know, what you would think these guys would be, these film actors, but they're not, you know.
I respect Stallone, man. I mean,
yeah.
Rocky alone, but he had a good career, man. He's put together, what, 15, 20 movies?
Yeah, he has. He has. He's had a career, man. You got to give him credit. It's tough enough.
I give him full credit.
Tough enough.
Multimillionaire, he should be if he isn't.
Yeah. You know, his career's not so hot here, but I guess in Europe he still sells some tickets.
Well, those latest ones he did with the Unmentionables, or what was that?
The Dispensables.
Yeah,
good little movie, and I love Rambo 3. You know, Rambo 3, good movie. You know what he does it well. When you're a man and you want to go sit alone, eat some popcorn, and watch a movie that your wife will never get within 200 miles of, those are great movies to see.
I agree. Found a niche.
And on that note, man, we're going to sign this one off.
That is the best show we ever did.
It is, man. Fuck yeah. And every day, man, we go to the fucking mattresses for our listeners. I hope you're enjoying it, folks. Don't forget to check us out on PKNradio.com, PKNradio.com. We're on iTunes. We're on Podomatic. And other than that, man, we're going to check you out.
Eat your vegetables.
And see you on the other side. We love you. Bye-bye.
See ya.